Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from James chapter 1. There'll be two readings, one from verses 9 through 11 and one from verses 26 through 27. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Then verses 26 through 27. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Good morning. This morning, I was reminded this morning of a story, something that happened at our house not too long. I see the smile. something that happened in our house right after we were married, and it was before the Kit Kat commercials came on and kind of told you that maybe you shouldn't answer the question correctly. You just eat a Kit Kat instead of answering the pointed question. And I was asked one morning if after Diane had ironed a pair of jeans, I think it was, she said, "Do these look wrinkled?" And I said, "Well, no, once you put them on, they won't be wrinkled." I meant nothing by that at all, and I have never said it again till this minute, because this morning, this coat looked pretty good when I brought it from the house, and it got knocked on the floor in the back, then it got knocked in the floor in the teen room, and when I went to put it on, it was wrinkled, and it is not wrinkled now. But it does have a broken button, so not sure what's happening to me. But this morning, as we look at our lesson, we are going to honor our graduates today. But as always, on Sunday, we will honor our God as well as we speak through our conversation with this lesson. As we started, I don't know, if you watch the news, as I watch the news from time to time, just to, I guess, if I don't have enough aggravation in my life, I watch the news, and I see just what the world is happening in the world, and I remember my grandparents saying, "I have never seen anything like this." I have one grandfather left, and he doesn't watch the news. He watches all sports, but he is he'll be 90 at the beginning of next year, and he doesn't talk about anything in the society because he's just done with it. He just reads his books and eats and just tries to stay out of trouble. But if you watch the news or you take a look at the newspaper, I am sure the majority of the people in this room will say, "You have never seen anything like the world today." Our politicians, our entertainment, the things that are happening around us are just, I mean, sometimes you just don't know what to say about it. And sometimes you're better off saying nothing at all, but then sometimes I think we have to speak up. On Facebook this week, I found a thing that had a picture of a pulpit, and it said, "When this goes wrong," and then the next picture was a picture of our government, "Then this goes wrong." And so our topic today, up is down, down is up, should not be surprising to you if you've watched the news, because the world's a mess. Everything's a mess. But this actually is in response to our scripture from today. Because in the scripture, sometimes God was trying to wake us up to the fact that his ways are different. Not in a crazy way, though I think we could look at it sometimes and say, "I don't get that. How does that happen? But we'll get to that in just a minute. I wanted to just ask a pop quiz here real quick about the top three things that are needed after graduation. I was going to have Mackenzie and Reagan and Sean stand up and answer these questions, but I'm not sure they could get them. If you'll go to the next slide. Top three things that are needed after graduation in your situation. Now, these might be your answer. And you think about the top things that you need after graduation. One is pizza. Two is money. Three is a good job. And those are none of the things that you need after graduation. Those are helpful. So those answers are all wrong. But as Christians and people who follow and love God, these are the things that you need. The first one is faith. The second one is hope. And the third one is love. And all of those things are things that we all need all through our lives. And I hope that we remember that. I wanted to go back to a song that DJ led. There's a verse, as Christians, if you'll turn your books to 226. There's a verse, and I stopped singing it, and my voice quivered, because there's a part of this verse that's very meaningful to me. And I wanted to share it with you as a Christian, because as Christians, we have the great responsibility to spur and encourage each other on, but we also have that intimate responsibility to keep ourselves close to God. And the last verse of 226 that DJ led is just a beautiful reminder of that. It says, "Never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh take and seal it for thy courts above." And as you read that, and as you sing that song, and we're going to sing that verse in just a minute, but as you sing that, that is a commitment that you have made to God. That I will love you, I will obey you, here is my heart. Our heart is the most tender part of us. It can be touched by many things. It can be touched by a puppy. Can be touched by a small child. I had a little guy come this morning from 20 feet away, raising his hand. What's his name? Jared?
Jarrett.
I don't know, what is he? 14 months? 1 year? 18 months? Comes right at me, shaking my hand. Took my heart. I mean, we have family members who we love. We also have other folks, other things that make us show that love. But our dedication to Christ should have this commitment. Take my heart, oh take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I want us to sing that verse once again. Verse 3. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. As we think about our lives, those of us who are older, those of us who are graduating, those of us who are younger, you realize that there are times that your heart is a wandering thing. Something catches our eye and we jump off toward it. But today, as we look at these verses, as we look at these three things, faith, hope, and love, I want us to know that those are the things that bind us, that bind our hearts toward God and keep us focused. The first one is faith. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is separated from the apostles. In verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him on the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" One of the probably the most famous stories of Peter in the Bible is this story. And for all of us in life, there are times when I've been in boats that I was hoping to stay in the boat in a storm or bad time. But Peter wanted to walk on the water with Jesus. His eyes were full. He saw Jesus. He wanted what Jesus had. So he said, "Help me to come out to you." And he had the faith to do it because Jesus said, "Come." And he stepped out of the boat. And he walked on the water. But much as in life, the storms, the seas, the waves, the boats over there, the things that happen in our lives that distract us and take our eyes off of Jesus, it happened to Peter. And Peter began to sink. And the most incredible piece of this story is, as Peter started to go down, he called out to Jesus. And Jesus stretched out his hand and pulled him in. My personal part of this story is my father would let me gurgle a minute and then pull me up, probably. But Jesus didn't. He reached out his hand and pulled him in. Our faith and your faith needs to be such in God that you would attempt to walk on that water with him. That you would go where he'd have you go. You would stay where he'd have you to stay. But you would listen to him, listen to his voice, and listen to the things that are upon your heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, it tells us that we need to keep our faith in God. It says, "So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." There are lots of things that are in our world today that want our attention and want us to believe in them. And we know because of Scripture, we know even because of common sense that those things are wrong. And yet the world pulls us toward them. The world's wisdom is folly, but we need to listen to God's power and have faith in it. So that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but in God's power. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." Hold on to the things that you know. Hold them in your heart. Keep them close. The other thing that we talked about was hope. Hope is something that gives us hope. It gives us the willingness to move and to go on, to hang on, to tie that knot and to hold on, even in the slimmest of circumstances. As Christians, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it reminds us to set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. Similar to the verse that we just talked about not resting on human wisdom, but in God's power, but setting our minds on things above. I have set by, and sometimes this is a little frightening for people, but I have set by many, many people that were on their way to the next world, and I've watched them pass from this world on. I can never say I've enjoyed that, but I have found peace in the fact that many, many, many of them had something that they were going to. They knew they were heading toward the Father's hand, and that's such a blessing to know that. Sometimes they even call out names of relatives or people
that they either see or that have come to their mind. They have held on to that hope that they have a place waiting for them. They have held out for that hope that they will see that loved one again. That's a hope that I want to hold on to. That's a hope that I want to know in my heart that I have a God that has built a place for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When imperishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." Our God is King of the grave. He gets us out of there. We're not going to stay there as his children. So those are things about hope, and there's a lot more. Hope, I always think about tying that knot on that string, that rope that sometimes we call hope. And sometimes you have to tie that knot and hold on because the rope is swinging, and the rope may seem like it's very, very close to a very dangerous, awful place. But if you tie that knot, if you reaffirm your faith in God, that will help you hold on, and that will help you pull yourself back up. It will help God pull you back up because of knowing what he has for you. The third of these things is love. From John, 1 John 4, chapter 10, it says, or verse 10, it says, "This is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins," the gospel. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." We are love. God is love. We are love when we show that love to the people around us. God so loved us that he sent his Son to die. We've heard that conversation before. We know that it's nearly impossible for us even to grasp the thought of giving a son, even a bad son, to give one of our children up for somebody else. But God did that for us. From Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is a part of love, graduates and everybody else. This is a part of love that's a little more difficult. It's easy to love God because he loves us, but to love others. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Bear with one another, bear with each other, and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." Forgiveness is a part of love. Forgiveness is a part of love. If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. There are things people have done to us that are awful. There are things that we've experienced that are mind-blowing. And yet, when we come to the conclusion of all of it, we have to be forgiving. We have to forgive others. Because the Lord has forgiven us, and he has asked us to do that. It was asked, I believe, by Peter in Matthew chapter 18, how many times? I've already did it a few times. Seven times? Seven, maybe 10? Seven times 70, which is a big number, but the intention there is that we are constantly forgiving. We're always forgiving. That's something that love brings to us. Love also, this is how we show love, from Matthew chapter 25. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to me." Those are some of the ways we show love to the people around us, by serving them, by visiting to them, by helping them when they are sick, by giving them clothes, giving them food. I don't always think when I buy somebody a meal that I'm loving them, but I am. When I take food, when clothes, and pat yourselves on the back for the clothes that have been donated. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of clothes have been donated, and food items as well, from this church to show love. And to you, they were hand-me-downs or things you couldn't wear, but to somebody else, it's something that they don't have and they needed. So love is showing those things. So we need to love God. We have to know Christ. We have to serve others. That is what the scripture teaches us about love. Now going back to James, back to where we started, up is down is up. The question, the answer here is wealth is not the answer. Wealth is not the answer to the world's problems. Pizza, good job, money. Those are not the answers to our world. The answers is being happy in whatever sense you are. And I appreciated all of Jay's comments today, but especially the one where he looked in the glass and it was different because it had silver in it. When we are wealthy, sometimes we miss the need for God. When we are wealthy and have much, we forget our need and our commitment to God. And I will never say that a rich man cannot get to heaven. I will say it is difficult, because we tend to lean on ourselves. This is where the up is down and down is up. Left, right. Because we think wealthy, having money is we're going to make it. Things are going to be great. Things are going to work and be awesome. That doesn't always work out, because sometimes we depend on that and we miss out what God wanted us to use that wealth for. In those verses, it says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises and scorches heat, withers the plant, its blossom fails, and falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. We're all going to die. Rich or poor, we're all going to die. What happens between that, and we're going to talk about that in a minute as well, but what happens with what we do with the blessings that God gives us makes the difference of where our heart is. Because a rich person has the opportunity to bless others. Depends on what he does with that silver that's behind the glass. What he sees about the opportunities. And the poor have opportunity to be served and to love. We talked about humility in our class this morning upstairs. And we talked about the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we always talk about Jesus, his humility into serving. But if you think about that story as we talked this morning, if you think about Peter, what was Peter's statement? Whoa, you're not washing my feet. Jesus says, I must wash your feet if you want to be a servant of mine. Well, then wash my whole body. Peter didn't get it, but then he got it. In that story, Peter also humbled himself before the Lord, because he realized that he needed completely washed as well, and he wanted the Lord to do that for him. So back to down is up, up is down. We talked about wealth is not the answer, the first will be last. But the last part of those verses is true religion uses its resources to care for the most vulnerable. And I can't help but also mention that verse from 26 about our tongues. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I can't help throwing that in while we're floating by here, because our words are important. Our words can be beautiful, they can be ugly, they can be life-saving, and they can be killer. So our words are so important, and we must keep a tight rein on our tongue. But the verse that kind of goes to, flies in the face of what we're talking about, up is down is up, is this one. That religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. What? What is that? What is that about? What is it about keeping ourselves clean? What is it about reaching out to the poor, the homeless? Who in our world are the most vulnerable? Who in the world that you see are the most vulnerable? Onto the next slide there. And it comes to the bottom answer there. The ones who are most vulnerable in our world today are the poor, the homeless, the elderly, the unborn, and others. Those are who are most vulnerable in our world today. And you don't see a lot of hooray, hooray, hooray for those who help the unborn. You don't see a bunch of celebration for those who help feed the hungry or reach out to the poor or go help in a storm-ravaged place. You don't see a lot of hurrah for that. But God sees it and recognizes it. He makes it happen. He makes it right. As we finish up tonight, it's not tonight, it's still 11:30. I was reminded of this poem, and I first found this poem when I went out to Columbine in 1999. And I took a picture of this poem. It was hooked into the baseball fence, the chain link fence. This poem has really changed my view on lots of things. I feel like I was taught this way. I'm not sure I always lived this way. But this poem, I think as I read it, you will see what I mean. For graduates and for all the rest of us who are past graduation or not yet to it, this poem, I think, says everything that the scripture says and more. The poem is called The Dash. It says, I read of a man who spoke to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. And he noted that first came the date of her birth, and he spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things that you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left. You could be at dash mid-range. If you could just slow down enough to consider what is true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel. Be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things that they say about how you spent your dash? Truly a chilling reading and thought to think about. But if you mix it with love, faith, hope, and love, you realize that your path will be different, that your dash will be different, and that you have the opportunity to make a difference in this world for Christ. And along that way, people will be blessed. People will be pointed to Christ because of your life. So up is down is up. Our world's a mess, but the Word of God remains the same. It remains what we need to hold on to make it through this world into the next. And God stands there and waits for us, holds out his hand, and he holds out his heart for you to take and for you to grasp onto, exchange your heart for his, and live for him throughout your days here. I'm proud and happy to say that all three of our graduates are children of the King. They've all given their lives to Christ. But what about you? Is that something you've done? Is that something that you have made your preparation for your next home, your next adventure? I hope so. If not, we have a time that you can respond and make that known. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to baptize you if that's something you would love and require at this time. How do you spend your dash? Hopefully it'll be spent for him. Let us stand and sing.